Our meditation today is from Psalm 40. Please turn there in your New King James Bibles. We'll read responsively as we usually do from Psalm 40.
Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry.
He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps.
He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord.
Blessed is that man that makes the Lord his trust. He is not respected proud, nor such as turn aside to lies.
Many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered.
Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require.
Then I said, Behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me.
I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart.
I have proclaimed the good news of righteousness in the great assembly. Indeed, I do not restrain my lips. O Lord, you yourself know.
I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly.
Do not withhold your tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let your loving kindness and your truth continually preserve me.
For innumerable evils have surrounded me. My iniquities have hidden me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore my heart fails me.
Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me.
Let them be ashamed and brought to mutual confusion who seek to destroy my life. Let them be driven backward and brought to dishonor who wish me evil.
Let them be confounded because of their shame who say to me, Aha! Aha!
Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let such as love your salvation say continually, The Lord be magnified.
But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. Okay, first thing I want to do as we start to look at Psalm 40 is to call your mind back to the last couple psalms that we've done. In Psalm 38, as I said, we see in the psalm the Lord Jesus as He prepares Himself for His sacrifice. We see in Psalm 38 the time of trouble beginning. As he looks forward to it, as he contemplates the troubles that are ready to come to him, as he cries to God for help. In Psalm 39, the one we looked at last week, the probably most heartbreaking psalm that I've seen in the book of Psalms, at least that have come to mind, we see the Lord preparing himself, or as he is going to the cross, as he is experiencing the separation from God, as he... Well, we can put a time on this one. As he was saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? We see the Lord Jesus as he bears our sin. We see the hand of God heavy upon him and God's rebuke laid upon him on our behalf. And we see God being silent to him as he bears that sin, as he is sin for us. And we saw that the psalm did not end on a happy note at all. Psalm 39 ends, Remove your gaze from me, asking that God would cease to look at him, asking that the Father would turn away from him, that I may regain strength before I go away and am no more. So we see this, and we can put the time on it again, as I said, at my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, in Psalm 40, we see the happy ending. We do see the happy ending. There's a couple things to look at here I want to do, but first I want to see at the very beginning of it, we see an accomplished redemption. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. Now, when we apply this psalm to ourselves, we think of somebody that falls into a field or slips off the path, and they're up to the sticky mud up to their ankles or maybe even up to their knees. And we think of the trouble that you have and how this impedes your progress, and God picking you up and setting you back on the path. And that's commonly how this psalm is interpreted as it's attributed to David. But again, as I want to reemphasize, the psalms speak of Jesus. What we see here isn't the idea of picking you out of a foot and a half of mud and putting you back on the rocky path. What we see here is the Lord bringing Jesus back up out of the tomb, out of the grave. This isn't a progress impeded and now you can go again. This is, he was dead and is lifted up again. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. What does that mean? Well, if that you said praise to the Lord, it would mean hallelujah. That would be the Hebrew of it. But the thought is the same. The new song is no longer here I come, but praise to God, because he has come. Many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord. Again, I want us to see that this is happening, well, after, my God, why have you forsaken me? This is after it is finished, the word on the cross. Blessed is the man who makes Jehovah his trust and does not respect the proud or turn aside to lies. Now this, of course, applies to us, but think of it in the context as we find it. Lord Jesus had remained faithful. He was tempted to turn aside to those who lie. He was tempted to respect the proud, to avoid the crucifixion. But he didn't. He was faithful and he stayed with it. And now he can say, many, O Lord my God, or Yahweh, or Jehovah my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. Think of the wonderful things God has done for his people. Salvation we think of as a simple matter. Jesus died for us and we're okay. But it's not that simple. Many are the works that Father had to go through to get us saved. Many are the things that were done on our behalf. And then, of course, we see all the other matters, all the other things of creation as well. In verses 6 and 7, we see Jesus himself coming to us, coming to the Father for us, rather, and now to us. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. A restatement that the Old Testament sacrifices were nothing in and of themselves. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and a sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come. Now, my ears you have opened can mean a couple things. When we look at one another, or when we apply this to mortal man, we think that this means that God has opened our ears to the gospel. But it means a little bit better than that. Again, as I've said over and over, you have to understand the Old Testament imagery. And those dry, boring books of Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy are necessary to understanding the rest of the Bible. That my ears you have opened, or you have put a hole, or you have put an opening in, is the mark of a slave who wants to become part of a family. One who started as a bondservant but becomes a son, has his ear pierced. And frankly, boys, young men, so why it's not a great idea to get your ears pierced. It's a sign of slavery for a man to have his ear pierced. But we see Christ coming as a bondservant and becoming a son through obedience and through the act of the Father. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come. Now this verse should make us think of the book of Revelation. I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. And this is what the Christ says there in the book of Revelation when it comes time to bring judgment upon the nations for their blasphemy. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. I have proclaimed the good news of righteousness in the great assembly. Indeed, I do not restrain my lips. The gospel is accomplished at this point, and so the good news, which is what gospel means, the good news of righteousness in the great assembly is going forth. Now, people say, but this is about David. David didn't preach in the great assembly. David wasn't a priest. David wasn't a Levite. So he did not do this. This is not David. Indeed, I do not restrain my lips, O Lord, you yourself know. I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. What better declaration of the salvation of God was there than hanging upon the cross and showing the salvation accomplished? I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth in the great assembly. Now, as I read through here, I got to the end of verse 10 and I thought, oh great, this is after the resurrection. But it's really not. When he looks to being taken out of the horrible pit in the miry clay, he was looking forward to something which was going to happen. This comes after it is finished. This comes after the gospel has been accomplished, the good news has been proclaimed. This happens after the sins have been paid for. But look where we go now. Do not withhold your tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let your loving kindness and your truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have surrounded me. He's still on the cross. He's still at the hands of the wicked ones. As we look through verses 13, 14, and 15, we see the wicked ones still there. We see he's still being beset. Those who seek to destroy my life, let them be ashamed and brought to confusion. Let them be driven backward and brought to dishonor who wish me evil. Let them be confounded because of their shame. And as we read stories of what happened after this in the Bible, and anybody that saw, well, for instance, Ben-Hur or other movies that have this scene, we see where they were driven back in confusion. Where Jesus, as he hung on the cross, was not allowed to become a plaything after his sacrifice was finished. We wonder why he died so quick, and the centurion even asked why he died so quickly. Because this prayer was answered, that he was not allowed to be a toy, as a crippled bird is to a cat, to the Romans or to the Jews. So we see in this psalm up to this point, salvation accomplished, proclamation of the good news, and then care for the one who did it from the Father. Now where does all this go? What happens now? Well, that's what the last two verses are. Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let such as love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me. You are my help and deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. The Lord is good. And the Father has provided for His people salvation. Jesus was faithful to us and to the Father. And in spite of real temptations, for He was real man, He was faithful and purchased our salvation. So as we sing this, we're going to sing part C, which is starting around verse 5. We're going to look at how many are your works and the wonderful things you've done and the sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but salvation you have given to your people. We'll sing that. So let's sing this again as a prayer and an acknowledgement of our Lord the Savior who has saved us and has given this to the church to sing in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Wanted to add a little addendum here. In the several times that Larry's gone through Psalm 40, I don't remember having heard before the allusion to Revelation 22, and that was a new thought. That was very good. If anyone doubts, of course, that this psalm is referring to Jesus Christ, I would refer you, in addition, to Hebrews chapter 10. Let me read you a few verses, beginning at verse 5. Therefore, when He, that is Jesus, came into the world, He said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God. Previously saying, sacrifice and offerings, burnt offerings, and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. By that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. The author of the letter to the Hebrews says, this is what Jesus said when he came to earth, directly quoting from what we read, what we heard meditated upon, and what we just sang.